taken from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 8 and verses 12 to 21, page 1093 in our Bibles. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language?" Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 a.m. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. And the passage that we're going to read now and that I'm going to speak about in a couple of minutes is in John chapter 17, verses 20 to 26. And it's on page 1085 in our Bibles. "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you've sent me. I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you've loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ." Do sit down. I feel very much the morning after the night before today. Years ago, in fact, 50 years ago, I ran a youth group, and we had a reunion yesterday, and about 30 of these hairy teenagers that I recall were passing around photographs of their grandchildren. And we shared what had happened in life. And as we talk today, Pentecost Sunday, of the power of the Spirit of God, I wish they were here to say some of the things that they said, rather than me preaching a sermon. To see the way the Spirit of God has worked in the lives of so many what were young people and now elderly old boys and old girls was just wonderful. Not in all. Some of them, one couple, almost in tears, said, we don't go to church anymore, Glyn. Sorry, I hope we're not disappointing you. That's the way it's happened with them. But others who just radiate the love of God. Wonderful. It'll take me a day or two to come down from that 50th anniversary of all those kids packed in my flat over in Sutton. However, let's move on. Let's move on. We're looking today at a passage where Jesus was sitting with his disciples. Disciples who were distinctly edgy. They'd heard Jesus was going, were a day or two before Jesus' actual...
I'm sorry, Glyn, because I really have to apologise at this point.
I wasn't going to say.
You're so kind. I put the wrong reading on the slide. That was last week's reading that Glyn just read. And so he's going to preach a different passage, the one he's supposed to preach on. My fault entirely.
Simon has got a very high feeling about your ability. I thought at the end of the sermon, I wonder how many people will say, hey, that sermon had nothing to do with the passage that was read. I was just going to carry on. Yes, we were just a few verses out from the passage that we're looking at, but don't worry, because the verses we're going to talk about are coming up. Jesus and the disciples were sitting. There was a depressed atmosphere, a worried atmosphere, a bewildered atmosphere. Jesus said he was going. Here, John chapter 13, I'll be with you only a little longer. You'll look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you, where I'm going, you can't come. And disciples, well, what's that about? Judas had just departed. Jesus had said, one is going to betray me, and the one to whom I give bread. As soon as Judas had taken the bread, he went out. It was night. It was that occasion we're talking about. Sitting around the table, one of the disciples was going to betray Jesus. What the others quite made of it, who knows? It was the day when Jesus said to dear old Peter, I'm going to be with you forever, Lord, says Peter. And Jesus said, very truly, I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. That was the occasion we're talking about. These disciples sitting around the table, worried, concerned. A very tetchy atmosphere. Simon Peter said, Lord, where are you going? It's all about good you saying you go. Where are you going? Jesus replied, where I'm going, you can't follow now, but you will follow later. What does Peter make of that? Tetchy, where are you going? Thomas, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus has said, I am the way. You know the way. I don't know the way, said Thomas. Are you going to Nazareth? Where are you going? Tell us where you're going and I'll know the way. Tetchy, uptight, Jesus saying, I am the way. They didn't understand. Philip, show us the Father. Jesus said, but the Father and I are one. Show us the Father, said Philip, and that'll be enough. Show us. There was that edginess in the air. And even Jesus almost wearyingly, you detect from these words, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you for such a long time, anyone who's seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? There was that uncertainty around, that worry around, where's Jesus going, what's he doing? But just that one verse before I move on, how often do I feel that's true of me? Don't you know me, Philip? even after I'd been with you a long time. Here was me talking with these kids, as I still regard them, despite them being grandparents now. All those years, I've learnt about Jesus. I don't know how many sermons I've heard over the years. I've read chunks of the Bible, many of the chunks, many times. These disciples knew Jesus' habits. They knew what food he liked and what he didn't. They knew whether he was a night owl or a morning owl. They knew all about Jesus. They'd worked with him, walked with him for 3 years. But when the chips are down, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you for such a long time. And I find myself challenging myself in exactly that way. Quiz questions on Jesus, yep, might well do quite well. But do you know Jesus? And to hear some of those youngsters talk about what Jesus had done in their life, what Jesus meant to them now, knowing Jesus and knowing about Jesus are two very, very different things. Jesus said, don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you for such a long time. And I just want to pick up three particular issues that I saw in this passage. Firstly, the Trinity. We talk about the Trinity, and yes, it's all part of our church. But let's just for a moment dwell on it. God the Father, the Creator, the Sustainer, the Father of everything. Jesus, his son, the one who came, showed what it was like to live as an individual for 33 years, showed what sort of life we ought to lead, finished up with that death on a cross and then that amazing resurrection. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When Jesus went, and we're going to look at this in a moment's time, when Jesus went, Jesus said, you're going to be left as orphans. I'm with you. How am I with you? I'm with you because the Holy Spirit will dwell within you. The Holy Spirit will dwell within you. And I just look at those three facets and say, well, it's true always of whatever God does, that the perfection, the completeness that I see, God the Creator, God the Father, Jesus coming to teach us and show us and die for us. But not finishing there. The Holy Spirit then coming to take over from Jesus. And Jesus saying, you're going to be an awful lot better off because I can only be in one place at one time. With the Holy Spirit, I can be with every one of you all the time. And it's what we celebrate today, Pentecost, the gift of the Holy Spirit of God, the completeness of what God has given to us. It shouts at me, and as I read this passage, it really did yell, and I thought, I'm just going to pass that on. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, it's all there. And we've got it, of course, in our wonderful creed. As I sit down in a few minutes, we'll say, we believe in God, Father, Jesus, Son, Holy Spirit. And I think I've said once before, whether it was as 9 o'clock, I don't know, a good friend of mine who's an assistant pastor in a big Pentecostal church, and I don't know what the logistics were, but one Sunday he and his wife popped down to the local parish church, which was quite a high church, and they'd never been in a place like that before. They stood up, read the creed, and that was the end of the service to him. He read it again, they sat down, and he kept on reading it. And then he rang me later in the day and said, you're an Anglican, have you ever read the creed? Yes. He said, it's fantastic, fantastic. It's everything there, God the Father, the Son, the Holy, it's there, it's wonderful. And absolutely right, wonderful. The Trinity. Let's move on one, prayer. Jesus saying to these disciples, these worried, confused, tetchy disciples, I'll do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I'll do it. This verse, together with this one in Romans 8, are probably the two most misquoted verses in the whole Bible. We know that in all things, says Paul in Romans, God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. Yes, prayer, whatever you ask, I'll do. Yes, but in my name, twice in that verse, in my name. And in this verse, God works together for good to those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. It isn't just all things work together for good. It's not whatever you want, just ask and you can have. That isn't what Jesus said at all. Prayer is our being in contact with God. Prayer is the opportunity we have to actually speak with him and listen to him. James says, when you ask, you don't receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. And it's a dilemma. I do feel that. I do when we pray. Healing is probably a classic one. I want whoever to be healed. Lord, heal them. That's my wish. And I always say, Lord, if it's your will, please, please, let this person be healed. But it's your will. It's not what I want. As I've said before, none of my friends would ever die if I could get round quick enough and I could get my will. I'd say, Lord, heal them. It's what God wishes. And I had a somewhat difficult lunch conversation with a lady only about 3 weeks ago, whose husband had died after 5 years of marriage, both in their 50s. He had a heart attack, keeled over. And she said, I can't believe in God. God has the power to resurrect people. And he refused to resurrect Ian. Well, yeah, it was God's will that Ian's time had come. Why? I don't know. I'm not God, nor is she. And I understood her frustration. But prayer is us talking to God, and it's the rebounding. I often think of it in terms of parents and children and Christmas presents. I haven't had children, but many of you will know. You sort of feed into the thinking of the children, what they might like for Christmas. And if all goes well, the children get that into their mind. And what's top of the Christmas list? It's what's been fed in. And lo and behold, on Christmas Day, along comes exactly what they wanted. But there's been that two-way communication. The child has picked up the vibes from you. And I think there's a lot of that in our prayer, that things are rebounding. We're in touch with God. We're listening to God. And as we hear what he has in mind for us, and we pray and we ask, it'll happen. But when we ask with selfish motives, then it doesn't happen. Prayer. Again, Paul in Romans, where does the Spirit fit? The great Holy Spirit, in the same way, Paul says the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our heart knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. The work of the Spirit of God is there within. As I said, I talked about the Trinity, the Spirit within, who's working within and speaking for us and with us. And then finally, on this Pentecost Sunday, the Holy Spirit himself, numbers of definitions, explanations, the Holy Spirit, the Counselor, Holy Spirit, Spirit of Truth, Holy Spirit, the Encourager. These are facets that Jesus had when he was with his disciples. Holy Spirit, friend, always with us. And this is the thing that Jesus emphasized. I can only be here as a person, one place, one time. But now, as I go, I leave behind the Holy Spirit who is within you forever, 24/7, the work of the Holy Spirit within. Jesus ensured that we were left in a perfect condition. And the whole of the New Testament speaks of the Holy Spirit. We've been looking in the evening services, 6:30, at the Acts of the Apostles, and decided it wasn't really the Acts of the Apostles, it was the Acts of the Holy Spirit. There's a lot about one apostle, the Apostle Paul, in Acts, but not much about the others. What is it? It's the work of the Holy Spirit in the Church of God, and it should really be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Jesus ensured that we were not left bereft. He ensured it. Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing, and they'll do even greater things." Just pick that one up. They'll do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. Jesus said, "I'm sitting on the right hand of God." We're up with the complexity of the Trinity, three in one. There's Jesus sitting at the right hand of God. Well, there's two of them. Well, yes, I can't explain the complexity of the Trinity. But Jesus is there acting as our intermediary. We pray, and we finish up our prayers frequently by saying, "In Jesus' name," or "Through Jesus Christ our Lord." We're praying to God through Jesus, who is sitting there at the right hand of God. And we have within the Holy Spirit. And therefore, says Jesus, you're going to have so much opportunity to do even greater things, because I'm there speaking for you, and within you is me, the Holy Spirit. The gift we're celebrating today, within you is the power that I have there 24/7, and I'm there speaking on your behalf. What a wonderful faith we have. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, completeness. God has looked after every bit of us. There's no weakness, there's no exit there. It's complete. Because God is perfect. We have Jesus speaking for us. We have Jesus within us. The world is our oyster. Thank God for himself, his Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the completeness of your creation. Not only the physical creation, but the spiritual one. The fact that you have protected us and guided us and guarded us totally. And we ask today, Father, just revive in us this certain knowledge that your Holy Spirit is right there. You are right there within us. And we have the power to do even greater things than you did. Father, wake us up if we need this awakening to see the great things that you have done in and for us. And we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.